Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Property Beat, where real estate is part of your life. The coffee is hot, the conversation lively, and we're talking real estate. I'm your host, Cliff Perotti, along with co-host Jonathan Nicholas. Keeping us on track and out of trouble is our producer for the show, Tom McGowan. And now, on to the Property Beat.
Good morning, everyone. This is Cliff Perotti, along with my co-host, Jonathan Nicholas. Good morning, Jonathan. How are you this morning?
Good morning. Doing great. How are you?
Great. It's another early morning in California here on the Property Beat, so I've got my very large cup of coffee, which you can't see over radio, but it's very big. And, wow, we're off to it. We have got a great show. I've been looking forward to this show, and we've been getting a lot of emails around this show, so I'm excited. How about you?
I am, too. It's a great subject. It's a timely subject, and it's one that we continue to see in the news, as there's even been some breaking news this week in regards to loan modifications and scams and lending, predatory lending and stuff like that. So it's going to be great and great information for our consumers that are out there listening to us right now on the Property Beat.
Absolutely. So this week, what we know and you don't know, but you're about to find out, is that Alan Sims, CEO for Center for Litigation and Consumer Real Estate Education, is our special guest today. Now, his organization recently took on Bank of America and the HAMP program and proved consumer fraud against the institution. And so this guy is a champion for the cause of the common man out here who's being scammed by all these guys doing loan modification programs or fraudulent practices at lenders, which we're going to hear more about. So you'll certainly want to stay tuned to hear more about Alan and his mission to eradicate fraud in the loan modification programs and mortgage lending.
That's exciting. And we'd also like to encourage you, our listener, we'd like to invite you to get involved with the show by being a part of the conversation here at the Property Beat. And you can do that by calling in at 347-989-0439. Again, that's 347-989-0439. You can also email us your comments and your questions by emailing questions@thepropertybeat.com. We love to hear from you. And feel free to call in with your questions for our guests, your comments, or are you guys as handsome as you sound on the radio, or whatever else is on your mind?
Well, the answer to that is absolutely yes. There's no question about it.
Oh, there's a reason why we're on radio and not TV.
That's true. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Well, you know what? I'm in real estate. I'm used to using 20-year-old pictures for everything, so it's good.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God. Hey, well, folks, we'll be right back. Before we get to our guests, we'd like to do a little few news stories for you, but we're going to take a quick break right after this short message.
Hey, how about a nice Hawaiian punch?
Sure.
New taste. 7 kinds of fruit in Hawaiian punch. 7 kinds of fruit in Hawaiian punch. Hawaiian punch is made with 7 kinds of fruit for a one-of-a-kind fruit taste.
Hawaiian Punch Fruit Punch with 10% real fruit juice for a real fruit juicy taste.
Hawaiian Punch is made with 7 kinds of fruit
for a one-of-a-kind fruit taste.
For a one-of-a-kind fruit taste. Boom. I love those old commercials.
I do too.
So, well, you know, it's time. It's that time in the day for our news here at the Property Beat. Leading off our lead story is Jonathan Nicholas.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, Brooklyn prosecutors announced the arrest of 18 con artists in 15 different real estate fraud cases on Monday of this week.
Oh,
and
wow.
The schemes ran the gamut. We're all in Brooklyn, you know. Hey.
Yeah, I really want to know, other than what kind of scams are we talking about here?
Well, Guido, you know. Well, these ran
hey,
the gamut.
What are you talking?
I know. I'm sorry to my Brooklyn listeners out there, but fraudulent reverse mortgages to crooked loan modification and deed theft. Some scammers used fake documents to obtain a reverse mortgage, essentially, you know, a loan that allows people older than 62 to repay the loan by selling the home after the owner dies. So they're out there giving loans away under the guise of, oh, you'll never have to pay us back. And then what they don't tell the poor, unfortunate consumer is that, you know, the equity in their property and any inheritance they were looking on passing on to any heirs just was not going to be there anymore after they got into the scheme. Others rented apartments in foreclosed buildings that they didn't own. So I've heard that being in the property management business for years. Well, you would have every once in a while you'd have an owner call you up and say, I want to lease my home out, and then we would run the credit check and the background at the courthouse to see if they actually were indeed entitled of the property and find out, no, they weren't entitled. This was happening all over Brooklyn. Apartments are being rented out. And then other.
Okay, wait a minute. What? Yeah. I got enough problem with my own tenants. Why would I want to go have other tenants in other people's buildings?
Well, what they would do is they would find a vacant property, run an ad on it, collect a deposit in the first month's rent, and then never talk to the people again. You know, the phone number would be a temporary cellular phone, you know, that you would use contract by the month or whatever, and then they would have absconded with, you know, a couple of months' worth of funds. Others rented apartments out in foreclosed buildings that had been foreclosed
on.
No one
gets great
the
guests on our show.
Yes, they would. They absolutely would. And then there was a man named Rafatola Arfi, and he's 20 years old. 20 years old.
20 years
accused
old.
Of creating a loan modification firm to steal $2,500 from more former. You know, this is the ignorance. Former city council member Kendall Stewart. And then the last one.
You know what? He's probably getting what he deserves.
Oh, absolutely. The last one that I'm aware of is a guy named Ralph Baker, 61, actually tried to convince the unit he was the victim of deed fraud in an attempt to get a $1.7 million brownstone owned by a man with the same name. Of course, he failed at that scheme. So, wow is right. What do you got for us this morning?
Well, you know, in keeping with our theme today in terms of loan modification fraud, there was a – are you familiar with the MARS law that came out, the regulations came out a couple of months ago that really tightened in on government – you know, the government's really tightening down on these scammers, the loan scammers, and I'm sure we're going to hear more about it. But they're running something called Operation Clean Sweep right now, the FTC is, in which they're swooping in and getting all these guys that are loan scammers, taking monies fraudulently from consumers. And they also put into place some regulations about some disclosures if you're going to be involved in mortgage assistance for people. And by the way, MARS stands for Mortgage Assistance Relief Services. So the challenge with this is that they're targeting these scam artists, but they're accidentally snaring some real estate agents. And the reason that's happening is that anytime you're going to negotiate on behalf of a consumer, you have to give them a very specific, under this law, very specific disclosure that tells them they can stop doing business with you at any time. And if they don't accept the mortgage assistance that offer that you obtain from the lender, they reject it. They don't have to pay you and all this. And the problem is that this law creates a disclosure requirement that's really not applicable in a situation where a homeowner has a listing agreement with a real estate agent and a contract to go ahead and pay them a commission to help them do a short sale. That's where it's showing up, is during the short sale process. Wow. So they're saying it's about a $16,000 per violation fine. So the FTC and the National Association of Realtors have been talking. The good news, after they've thrown about 4 million real estate agents in jail. No.
Yeah, right.
The good news is they're going to. And by the way, I'm calling you from Sing Sing. Oh, never mind. The good news is that the FTC is saying they'll fix this within a couple of weeks. They realize now this is not, they're not trying to trick people and trying to get legitimate business people. They're just ending up realizing they've created a law that has a little loophole where it puts the real estate agents in a bad place.
Wow.
So that's my lead story for the day.
It's amazing the changes and continuing changes, and we'll be faced with that even with this session of Congress as to a number of changes coming to the mortgage industry. But I want to talk a little bit about Florida, and we all know that Florida has really been the victim, so to speak, of a bad real estate market, as many other places in the country have, but really has hit hard in Florida. And it's no surprise that Florida right now has a what's called an empty house problem. And with the state being overbuilt in the housing boom and now seeing foreclosures running rampant out there, nearly one in six houses in the state are empty. One in six.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? So there was this real estate agent out in Apopka, Florida, which is a suburb north of Orlando, that she learned one day while she's out looking around that it might be a good idea to regularly check on your listings. And after not checking in for a month, a full 30 days had gone by, she found her lockbox was gone and a family was living in the house. So
they were rented the house by some guy from Brooklyn, I understand.
From Brooklyn. It was a Brooklyn accent and a Brooklyn phone number.
So,
makes this story interesting is even more bizarre. The man that occupied the house after bonding out of jail as a result of this event said that he was doing, listen to this, he was doing the president's bidding. His direct quote was, acting as part of President Obama's plan to recapture and revitalize abandoned properties. Wow. I'm going to get started on that this afternoon. I'm going to do that right here where I live. So, I'm looking for a new house.
Gosh.
So 40-year-old Aaron Winans is paying because the sheriff's office is charging him with grand theft, of course, and often the charges are only trespassing and stealing utilities, but Winans told deputies he was working for the president on this one, so we'll see how that holds up in court.
I like that defense. You got to admit the judge is going to chuckle at that one.
Oh, I would imagine so.
Gosh. Well, from Florida, let's take you across the globe to Hong Kong, where they just came out with the last quarter stats. They're always behind on these stats, but they're always kind of interesting. The global real estate prices and just kind of seeing what's happening out there. And, you know, we talk about the slowdown and the potential double dip that we're experiencing right now in the United States real estate market. Well, globally, the marketplace has slowed in a lot of places. For example, in Greece. Now, this I found entertaining. Greece, who's basically bordered on bankruptcy, has only lost 6% in their property values. 6%? Good criminally.
Wow.
They've lost over 20% in Stockton, California. So,
right.
You know, I guess if you have beautiful islands, you get a hall pass a little bit. So they only lost 6% in their values. Dubai also only lost a little over 6%. But what was really surprising to me is some of the countries that had huge percentage gains in the last quarter of last year. Hong Kong is number one with a 20% change annualized last year in their property values. That's amazing, 20%. Now, then you got to explain these ones to me. Latvia, 16.9%.
Wow.
Israel, 16.2%. China, 15%. Singapore, 14%. I mean, first of all, Latvia. A lot of people don't even know where Latvia is.
Well, some of those countries in the Middle East, some of them in the Middle East where there's been a lot of bombing, you know, where whole neighborhoods are taking out, that's called supply and demand. So prices are going up.
It's encouraging, you know, in one sense, we know that the world, you know, it's an ebb and flow type of market, and there are just countless cities across the world here that have been flat. I mean, a lot of these countries are just simply flat. But there are a few where there really is a booming economy going. So good luck for you folks. So that's the news for the day.
Yay!
We'll be right back after this short message.
Another public service announcement from Brill Cream. Men, beware. Use one dab of Brill Cream. Just a little dab makes your hair look excitingly clean, disturbingly healthy. This man dared to use two dabs. Now he's in trouble. We refuse to be responsible.
Brill Cream.
Brill Cream.
Brill Cream.
Brill Cream.
A little dab will do ya.
Brill Cream.
You look so debonair.
Brill Cream.
The gals will all pursue ya. They'll love to get their fingers in your hair.
Okay, so, you know, as a kid, I had to use Brill Cream. Now I don't have enough hair to put Grill Cream on, but anyway.
Well, goodness. I was convinced.
It's time for that question of the week.
Well, I was convinced that high karate would be, you know, my key to getting all the girls when I was 8 and 9 years old. So I've got to find that commercial, too.
Yeah, that is funny. That would be funny. Okay, so as you know, folks, every week we like to ask a question of the week, and Jonathan digs through his catacombs and sees what he can find that will help us challenge you. And last week's question was?
Well, we reached back to Real Estate 101 to see if our listeners really do listen to the show and pick up on the content here. And the question was, all real estate agents have to be licensed to sell real estate. We know that. But all real estate agents realtors? That was the question.
All right. Are all real estate agents realtors? And the answer is?
No, not at all. Only those licensed agents who maintain a membership in the National Association of Realtors can promote themselves as a realtor. And realtors are not only held to the requirements of licensing law, but also adhere to a strict code of ethics and standards of practices that aren't required necessarily by the qualifications of a licensing law. So there is a difference between a licensed real estate agent and a realtor.
Suffering succotash!
That's right, Daffy.
Well, and you know the winner. Jerry Berkowitz out of Boca Raton, Florida, got this one right. I wonder if Jerry's a realtor. He'll receive a Property Beat t-shirt, and we'll get that out to you this week, Jerry. So congratulations. And, all right, I'm afraid to ask, but what is our question of the week for this week?
Well, I just wanted to comment and tell Jerry he might want to check his listings in Florida, if he has any, if he is indeed a listener. The question for this week, this is a good one for those, especially those engineers out there. What are the three most common environmental hazards for which homes are most commonly tested? So, home inspectors are hereby disqualified. I just want to make that disclosure from answering this week's question. Well, what would you think?
All right. I know what I would say, but I'm not going to give it up until next week. So if you think you know the answer, folks, to this week's question, the question again is, what are the three most common environmental hazards for which homes are most commonly tested? If you think you know the answer, go ahead, write it with a big black marker on the hood of a 2011 Ferrari, send it to us, and of course you can always simply email your answer to questions@thepropertybeat.com. All right, folks, we're going to take a real quick break, and then we will be back with our guest of the week, Alan Sims. We'll be right back.
Sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't. I'm enjoying that nut, mounds don't. I'm enjoying that real milk chocolate, coconut and munchy nuts too. Mounds got deep dark chocolate and chewy coconut. Sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't. Peter Paul, I'm enjoying that nut, Peter Paul, mounds don't.
All right, so this week our guest is Alan Sims. He's CEO of the CLCREE, which is the Center for Litigation and Consumer Real Estate Education. Alan's a forensic real estate appraiser and an expert witness. His organization has taken on the big boys of lending at Bank of America and has won. We're glad to have Alan here on the Property Beat. Good morning, Alan. Are you there?
Good morning, Jonathan. Thank you so much for having me on this morning.
No problem. We're excited. You've got a very hot, interesting topic. I've been getting all sorts of tweets and emails on LinkedIn on this thing, so this is a good topic for us. So, Alan, we like to start our show off, our interview, if you will, with a kind of a more personalized note, and so we always ask you to kind of tell us something about yourself that isn't related to the real estate business, perhaps, but something interesting that you've done or something that you've accomplished, you're proud of, anything. It doesn't have to be real estate related, as I said. It just needs to be interesting and keep us give us a little insight into Alan Sims. What do you got?
Well, I had to come up with something pretty unique on it. I lost 80 pounds since last April, and
holy
I didn't
wow.
80 pounds. Believe it or not, that's like a child. I don't know where he's running around to right now. But I started that last April because of the work I'm doing. I either was going to have a heart attack or I had to really get in shape. I started doing it by cycling again. I used to cycle some years ago. And this Sunday, I have my first pro race in about 20 years. That's going to be Sunday here in Redlands. Yeah, yeah. and it's called.
Did you just use willpower on this, or did you use one of those systems like a Jenny Craig or weight loss? I mean, what kind of program did you work on?
Well, for the main thing, when you ride cycling or you're a cyclist, you get a couple hundred miles in a week, which I average about 150. You're burning about 10,000 calories a week, so you can pretty much eat anything you want. But I'm on a restricted diet. I watch by what I eat here. But the one thing I really had to give up was booze and beer and white bread and caffeine, because I could really use that big cup of coffee you had this morning that you talked about.
wait a minute. Did you say you were giving up booze?
Oh, please tell me this is some kind of practical joke.
No, it's not. It's not. You do that, and I have to give up real hot, hot, spicy food. I wish I could tell you why, but this is part of the regimen.
Okay.
And to top it off,
where are you going with that?
I know. And to top it off this afternoon, we have to make sure that most of our body hair is shaved off of us, so when we crash, the gravel won't get in our wounds. So I just.
All right. With that,
don't drink it dry.
So that's a humorous story you asked for.
You know, thanks. I guess I asked for that. All right, good. Thank you.
You did.
Folks, we'd like to remind our listeners, if you'd like to ask Alan a question, though I'm a little afraid of what he's going to say now, you can simply call us at 347-989-0439.
All right. Well, Alan, we see that you're the CEO, and you're also, as we learned, appraiser. Expert witness, and your organization does a lot of good out there. Again, the name of the organization for our listeners is the Center for Education and Consumer Real Estate Education. What exactly does the organization do?
I basically formed our organization to help out the homeowners who are getting beaten up with loan scams. We had a big problem here in California, and we still do, but we really had a big problem back in 2009. And it was so bad that they had to pass state law to forbid anybody from taking upfront money. I mean, they couldn't even control it. And they had to include the scammers, which were just private corporations, as well as even attorneys can't take upfront money. They couldn't trust anybody. So with that, we organize complaints and provide expert testimony and discovery assistance to the homeowner. In a couple different venues, one that we really are trying to stress because of the affordability of it is a small claim, which is it's $7,500 maximum in California, as well as we try to find if there is a cause of fraud or action that we can help the consumer going back and trying to work on their credit because they're a victim of the consumer fraud. With that in mind, we educate the bar and bench, judges and lawyers, with a series of mortgage fraud seminars that I put on, and I also have them approved by the local bar and state bar association for continuing education. The real estate agents have to get continuing education, same as attorneys and judges. And we teach the court how to analyze evidence presented in front of them. And it really has helped out the consumer a lot, because you're not going into the courtroom and explaining it twice to the judge a lot of times. So with education with the judicial system and education also to the public, we're finding that our clients are having some successes. And as you mentioned earlier, I've been very happy to take on the larger banks on the HAMP program that we probably will discuss at length here, and able to prove fraud against them, which is very hard to prove. We did that in January of this year.
Wow. All right. Well, I tell you what, we're going to work on our sound settings here just a little bit. Thanks. And we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back after this commercial message.
J-E-L-L.
Extra,
extra, extra good news. The makers of Jell-O have discovered a way to give you rich, luscious chocolate pudding far more easily and far more economically than ever before. With the new Jell-O chocolate pudding powder, you can make old-fashioned pudding, smooth, creamy, and chocolatey, just like the ones grandmother used to make back in the good old days. Now you can have them again, and this is all you have to do. Just combine the contents of a package of Jell-O chocolate pudding with some milk in the top of your double boiler, letting it cook until it becomes smooth and thick. When the mixture has cooled, serve it in sherbet glasses. You'll have enough for 6 helpings, and that means 6 happy people. Jell-O chocolate pudding is so simple, so inexpensive, and so downright delicious that you mustn't delay trying it. Ask your grocer for Jell-O chocolate pudding, and if he hasn't put it in stock yet, be sure he orders.
All right, folks, we're back. Sorry about that. We've just been having some challenging phone issues here, so we'll see if this will get it cured. Jonathan, you're up.
Oh, absolutely. So, Alan, you told us kind of what the scope of work is for the organization that you're CEO of, and I just want to ask, what really got you into starting this organization? What was the impetus?
Well, the major problem I have, I'm from New Jersey. I mean, that's the major problem.
But, oh, no.
You know the guy from Brooklyn.
So when you mention the guy from Brooklyn renting out a house, I'm going, yeah, I can see that. Yeah, I can see that pretty good. So when I moved here to California 10 years ago, I started to mainly my background is commercial real estate. So I'm getting all these faxes in my office as a real estate appraiser. I'm a general certified appraiser both in New Jersey and California. And these faxes from mortgage brokers were asking me, can you appraise this property? And I need this value when I give you the job. And I'm sitting there scratching my head. I said, they must be doing different things in California here, okay? So I start collecting thousands of these requests, and eventually what happened is, as you well know, stuff started to come back around, and it was biting our consumers pretty hard because you can only keep bumping up the artificial number for so long. And you know, prior to starting this, I was an engineer about 17 years ago back in New Jersey, and I went into the real estate profession. I went to the appraisal profession to help out my other colleagues there at the time. A lot of them didn't even know how to use Microsoft Excel, and they were a real estate appraiser. They just got licensed back in 1992. Mm-hmm. So, and with this, I was able to go ahead and start learning from the old pros, and they taught me basically litigation techniques, because a lot of our cases with general certified appraisers were involved in expert testimony. So I started back in tax court to go ahead and testify on property tax factors. And when I came to California, I was able to go ahead and expand my practice to the residential arena, and also go ahead and start testifying in court on the residential market. So that one hand lit the other that way, and it's been very nice to me here in California, especially participating in the residential.
Well, it's interesting. It was almost like a bid sale. You had real estate agents out there putting a home out to get appraised for a bid. If you meet this price that I think it's worth, I'll give you the money to do the appraisal. That's pretty bad. But, you know, it was going on. It was rampant. So let's talk about appraisal. You're a forensic appraiser, and I know there's probably some listeners out there that don't know what a forensic appraiser is. What is that?
Well, a forensic real estate appraiser specializes in value origination. How did you come up with obtaining the original value? What were the individual elements and procedures to come up with this? And you have to, and I'll give you an example on it. Mortgage fraud is defined as material misstatement. I know this by heart. It wakes me up at night. Material fraud, mortgage fraud is defined as material misstatement and misrepresentation or omission of any information that is used by an underwriter to approve or insure a loan. And that covers everything. There's no such statute as you committed mortgage fraud. You have to go ahead and look at these individual elements. And I am I investigate the original appraisal request that was sent by the mortgage broker to their appraiser, asking if there's any predetermined value. I would review the original loan application the buyer has compared to the bank's copy. That's why most of the time when people get on my website, if they want to start any type of mortgage fraud investigation, I ask them to write a RESPA letter, and that's free. They can request their original copy of their original mortgage and a copy of their loan application and a copy of their appraisal, and that's the place to start. And I will also review to see if there's a standard of care that was followed by prevailing government regulations or any lending policy which we call a substitute or at least a service that is sponsored by, let's say, Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac.
Right. Most consumers wouldn't know that they could reach back and get that information or go back and request that information. And a lot of people would give up because they don't have that knowledge, you know. Well, how could I prove this? And so that you're giving them a place to start. That's excellent. So who is the typical consumer out there that you feel that your organization could help the most?
Well, currently the consumer right now is, and my phone calls I'm getting is getting more refined, is the homeowners who have been trying to get a loan modification through the bank. And they have been denied, or they have lost the information, or they've been going on for like 18 months, and they haven't had any type of solution to it. And so they're calling me up in frustration, saying, "What should I do? Because my house is going to be foreclosed on." I said, "Well, the only thing that you can stand by for is the house is going to be foreclosed on. That's number one.
Right.
And number two, you know, you have to go ahead and take care of your finances, and if you want to go ahead and go after the bank, let's review what has happened so we can go ahead and possibly bring a lawsuit against the bank." And a lot of times it's a small claims action. As I mentioned recently, we're going to go to Superior Court for a lot of these actions.
Sure, sure. Wow. It's rampant out there right now. I know a number of consumers that have had those problems in getting their bank to do anything for them, and a lot of people have reported that the HAMP program in and of itself has been a miserable failure as far as percentage of homeowners actually helped with that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, folks, remind our listeners. Let me grab these guys, because we haven't told our listeners how to get a hold of us, because I want to get some questions into Alan. I know we're already starting to get some email questions. We'd like to remind our listeners, if you have a question that you'd like to ask our guest, Alan Sims, you can simply call us at 347-989-0439. Again, 347-989-0439, or you can email us at questions@thepropertybeat. So, Alan, we got a question for you from Jill Stearns in Portland. She wants to know, what is predatory lending? How is it defined? She feels she might be a victim of builder and new construction loan scheme. Let's see, I might be a victim of builder and new construction loan scheme, but would like to get a clearer picture or example of predatory lending. What do you think?
Sure. Basically, predatory lending, if you can describe this, is if the homeowner applied for, in this instance, a construction loan. That construction loan is only good for so many months or a year until that construction is over with. At that period of time,
yeah,
usually that construction loan is made into a permanent type of loan. And if there
uh-huh.
were promises made prior to that end of you know, during that transition, oh, you're going to get a great rate and this is what you're going to get, that is a type of, I don't like to use the word puffing, but if it's not in writing, then there is some problems there, because the consumer wouldn't have built this property if they couldn't get a decent loan to pay it back.
Right,
right. And then the appraiser, if the appraiser is coming in and saying the property is going to be worth X amount of dollars when it's completed, and his projections are all wrong, that's something that is going to have to be reviewed. And I strongly suggest that that your listener up in Oregon write a RESPA letter and look what the original loan document said, as well as what the appraisal said on that, what the bank copy is. And the only reason I'm saying that is, more than likely they will not match. Most of my clients that come into me, a lot of times, believe it or not, these documents don't match up.
How do you, the marketplace has fallen, and I just want to piggyback on Jill's question, because we saw this happen with several projects we actually had in Portland area, ironically, but where the values, you know, they do have an appraisal of the end value of the project based upon today's marketplace and all the wonderful crystal balls that we were looking into at the time. And you turn around, and suddenly the marketplace has fallen off the face of the earth. The value is no longer supported. The lender doesn't want to give you any more drawdowns on your construction loan. They now want to call their loan because the value isn't there. I mean, wow, you can't. It's not just the appraiser's fault, but, I mean, what do you do in that kind of a situation? Is it good to hire an attorney at that point and say, hey, help me out here? I need some help?
Sure. And the only reason I'm saying that is I see that a lot more often in the commercial end of business. Where projections on large projects are expanded out for a number of years, and now the investors are saying, wait a minute, I would never invest in this project if this happened. So you got a lot of finger-pointing on both sides here.
Yeah. So now, all right, so we've heard a lot about home modification scammers. So who are these mysterious people? Are they from Brooklyn? and how do they work?
Oh, gee, I tell you, the East Coast is going to get a bad rap today. I know that. basically, how the hell the scammers work are pretty simple. They will advertise. They had a great advertising budget in 2009 and 2008. You will call them up and say, we can go ahead and help you out because the government programs are just taking too long. And when they implemented these various government programs, it took them months, if not even years, to roll out where you could call someone up and get something done a little bit faster than when it started. So they took advantage of the opportunity that the government wasn't there and programs weren't in place, and we could help you faster. So when you call them up, they're going to say, yeah, they're going to say yes to every question you have for them. Can you give me a loan mod? Yeah. Can you do it quickly? Yeah. It's only going to cost you $1,500 or $3,500. So that was free money for a lot of people because they would go ahead, start up a shop, and by the time people come to me, maybe a year later, I can't even find these people, even though they're registered with the Secretary of State as a company. So opening up the shop and making these calls were very low cost for the scammers, and everybody did it. As I mentioned before, California, there were so many people here in California that the state legislature had to pass a law to stop all this upfront money. They just couldn't control it. And the hardest thing for everyone right now that's been scammed is getting their money back because these people cannot be found. But I have good news for you. The banks have now become the loan modification scammers. So they go ahead and
Yeah, hang on a second. I want to hear more about that. We're going to take a quick break, folks, see if we can't work out some of our technical difficulties. We'll be right
Hello,
back.
Hello, boys and girls. It's me, the Frito Bandito. You know what I heard about you? I heard you want to be a Frito Bandito like me. You do? Then you must sing the Bandito song. Let's sing together. You just follow the bouncing Fritos corn chips bag. Ay, 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 ay. I am the Frito Bandito, hey! I like Fritos corn chips, I love them, I do. I want Fritos corn chips, I'll get them from you. Ay, 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 ay. Oh, I am the Frito Bandito. Give me Fritos corn chips and I'll be your friend. The Frito Bandito, you must not offend. Now, boys and girls, you are Frito Bandidos, too. You sing the Frito Bandito song, and you loco for crunchy Fritos corn chips.
That's nice.
Munch, munch, munch.
You can see pretty much with.
Well, let's see. We're back, folks. And we're here live with Alan Sims, who is a specialist in loan modification fraud, basically, and has attacked some of our larger lenders. And he was just telling us that the loan modification scammers are not necessarily those third parties anymore, but right now it looks like they might actually be the lenders themselves.
Yes, and let me kind of, you know, when you say the banks are scammers, of course, the next thing you know, I'm going to get a phone call from the bank, but we're going to be able to, in California, and we just had a case back in Virginia. I support people all over the United States with this, and basically there is elements of basic fraud, and some of the elements is people suppress known fact. If I suppress a known fact to you, and I'm saying that this car is a wonderful car, and I know that the thing doesn't work, that's why we have lemon laws, because we, you know, there's a fraudulent behavior. The same thing with a bank.
Mm-hmm.
The bank goes, you don't qualify ahead of time, like 31% of your gross income, or even if they have some in-house program that takes 90% of your income to pay this loan. They know this. They know you're on the path to foreclosure, because most of these programs, the results of them, like example, they want to end this HAMP program. They want to help anywhere from 2 to 4 million people. That's what Treasury wanted to start with, and now they're only helping 700,000 to 800,000. And the best thing about that, half of those people are going to fall out of the program within the next 12 months. So they know that you're there to help them pay their taxes on the escrow account and the bank's taxes on the escrow account, and also helping them with their insurance so the property won't be abandoned. So that's why they open up their escrow account. So they use undue influence. And undue influence and suppression of known facts are common fraud that are available to all the consumers in most of the states, so they can go ahead and pursue that type of avenue. And the banks are not subject to a lot of current loan scam legislation. They're exempt from it. And in California,
now, Alan,
they're exempt from it.
So let me ask you a question. So you hear a lot about these loan modifications. Now, there are some decent loan modifications, are there not?
If you can get a principal reduction, I would say it's wonderful. But you have less than 1% of getting a principal reduction. Most of the
I'm hearing that.
Yeah, most of the loan modifications are a temporary fix. And what they do is they allow the homeowner to stay in the home while they go ahead and make a lot of money on their charges that they charge the homeowner, and then they put it on the back end of a loan. So all of a sudden, you had a 30-year loan. Now you got a 40-year loan, but we reduced your rates. I have yet to see a structured loan modification that's going to save the consumer any money.
Wow. Well, now, okay, so do homeowners need to be behind in their loan payments in order to get a modification from a lender?
It used to be that way, but they changed that. And the reason that it started that way is the Banking Association wanted to stop anyone from taking advantage of saying I'm going to be late on my mortgage or preempted that. People wanted to save their credit. So the banks said, no, you have to be late. Now, nowadays, most of the programs, when you call up a HUD counselor, you're going to go ahead and be able to have, and that's what people should do. They should start with the HUD counselor, call up the HUD website, or get on the HUD website. And they should start there to go ahead and start this process. And they should not pay any fees, no fees for anybody to do a loan modification. Remember that. Anyone's asking for money, that's bad.
Good. Well, folks, we're going to be right back with our guest, Alan Sims, CEO of Center for Litigation and Consumer Real Estate Education, right after this quick message.
Once upon a time, there was an engineer.
Choo-choo Charlie was his name, we hear.
He had an engine and he sure had fun. He used good and plenty candy to make his train run.
Charlie says, love my good and plenty. Charlie says, really rings the bell. Charlie says, love my good and plenty. Don't know any other candy that I love so well.
All All right, folks. Well, today we are talking here at the Property Beat with our guest, Alan Sims. And Alan is the CEO for the Center for Litigation and Consumer Real Estate Education. It's an organization that basically helps consumers, helps protect them against consumer fraud and to reveal consumer fraud in loan modification programs and lending. If you'd like to talk with our guests, you can reach us at 347-989-0439, or you can email us, like Rich Tilton just did, at questions@thepropertybeat.com. So Rich is in Omaha, and he's asking about his experience with a national lender. He said he was trying to get a loan modification. He's experienced a 38% drop in his property values. Yow. He's gainfully employed, okay, so he's got a job, and would qualify for a new loan, but his lender is dragging their feet and are refusing to do a loan mod. Any advice for me? Any advice for Rich?
Wow. If he's going on one of the programs that the government supports and the bank manages, they have a time restriction where they have to make a choice and say whether you're in the program or not.
Really?
Just one of those. Yeah, they have, and that's one of the elements. But they have 90 days to go ahead and tell you yes, you've been approved or you haven't. And with Bank of America, I'm only telling you that. Hopefully, his bank is Bank of America. The Bank of America was not talking to Bank of America Credit, because there's two divisions here. The credit department is the one that calls you on the phone and says you owe me these payments, and they also the ones mm-hmm. that solicited the original loan. The Bank of America, the one that has not prior knowledge that you weren't qualified after 90 days. So, I would go ahead and call up a HUD counselor and say, look, they're dragging their feet, and I have a three-way conversation here and get to the bottom of this.
Now, you have mentioned the Bank of America a couple of times, and so have we. And for our consumers that are not aware of, can you just give us kind of a short synopsis of what happened with the Bank of America court case and what was the focal point of the claim?
Sure. This was a small claims case because my client can only afford small claims. A lot of attorneys, and I'm not an attorney, as I just want to mention that, the fees to hire attorneys to go in and take on a bank is pretty tough. So my client came to me. His name is Dave Graham. You can get on our website and click on our MSNBC button there, and you can see Dave Graham and myself. We were on a Dylan Radigan show. He was gracious enough to put that nationwide. Basically, my client came to me and said they've been doing this loan modification for 18 months. 18 months. And they're requesting all this paperwork, losing all the paperwork. And finally, I said, I can't do it anymore. What's my options here? And he told me his story. He was current on his mortgage before he started this. The bank solicited him and told him, oh, I'm going to give you a loan modification. I know you're retiring, so you're going to drop it down $400 a month. The minute he did that, the bank puts him in default on his original loan obligation. They didn't tell him that. Everything went to an escrow account. Yeah, everything went to an escrow account. So it shot his credit without him even knowing it. It went to an escrow account. The escrow account pays for taxes and insurance only, and when they satisfy that part of it, then they put partial payment when they only get enough to his original mortgage. So he's sitting there going, why is my credit getting shot? Why aren't they answering this? And he's paying all this money for over 18 months. He paid over $23,000, and then the bank has the nerve to say, don't qualify, and to get your loan current, you owe us $10,000.
Wow.
That is just
amazing.
The judge was appalled. He said, this is crazy. And, I mean, I have a transcript. I will send the gentleman of the court case and where Bank of America admits, well, we train our people to take the money, but we don't train them to do modifications very well. That was their excuse.
Wow. We'll make sure we have a link on our website to your website for that case, and we'd love to have a copy of that. It'd be interesting reading, I'm sure. Now, you're talking about credit and how his credit was shot, and I know people don't think about that when they go into these loan modification programs, or if they even look at a short sale or what the consequences of foreclosure. What is the difference between on a consumer's credit report between just walking away in foreclosure and maybe doing a short sale?
Well, it's interesting you said that because that was I attended a conference about a week ago with a national organization called Springboard. I don't know if you ever heard of that or not. It's a nonprofit organization. And
absolutely.
You can get on it. And I'm just putting a, if people want to know this answer a little bit better, their website is www.credit.org, and that's for Springboard. And basically, we were trying to get a number. Is it better to just do a foreclosure or a short sale? Springboard basically came back and said, look, if you're going to do a short sale, it shows you're trying to work with the bank a little bit here and just not walking away from it. We couldn't get a definitive number where a short sale versus just a foreclosure and you're walking away without trying to do a short sale, is that a benefit of 150 or 200 points to your credit score? So I suggest that you pin down like Springboard or an organization, a credit organization, and try to get a strategy whether you should do the short sale or the foreclosure, and it's better on your credit as far as a number score. We just couldn't get that at that stage, but I think those people can answer that a little bit better.
There's not only a credit impact, but there's also an income or a tax impact as well. Something that you may or may not be aware of as a consumer listening right now is shadow income. Alan, how does shadow income impact a consumer when they short sell?
Oh, we're talking about the 1099-C guys. That's a surprise. You get that,
yeah.
You get that in the mail on tax day at tax time.
Mm-hmm.
In California, and I only mention California, but there's different in every state, we have a one rule law. You get the home or you get the cash. You can't have both. So when you are foreclosed and you only have one loan, you basically walk away with it, and you're not going to get a 1099-C. If you have personal loans, like an equity loan or a second mortgage, you guarantee that personally as a personal guarantee. And let's say you got a $50,000 non-purchased loan, that second loan was not used to buy your home. Next thing you know, at the end of the year, you're getting a tax bill for $50,000. You need to talk to your accountant prior to looking at a short sale or your real estate professional. They're going to direct you to go to an accountant to see if you're going to be obligated in your state for that shortfall and if you are going to get a 1099-C out of it. So, again, pay the $75 to $150 for an hour consultation with a good tax accountant that understands this 1099-C or the shortfall and see what your tax obligations are. And, don't expect your real estate agent to put his opinion on the line when that's not his profession. So, don't blame him if he doesn't tell you is what I'm trying to say.
Good advice.
There's something screwy around here.
Well, we're going to be right back with our guest, Alan Sims, right after this quick message.
J-E-L-L.
Extra, extra, extra good news. The makers of Jell-O have discovered a way to give you rich, luscious chocolate pudding far more easily and far more economically than ever before. With the new Jell-O chocolate pudding powder, you can make old-fashioned pudding, smooth, creamy, and chocolatey, just like the ones grandmother used to make back in the good old days. Now you can have them again, and this is all you have to do. Just combine the contents of a package of Jell-O chocolate pudding with some milk in the top of your double boiler, letting it cook until it becomes smooth and thick. When the mixture has cooled, serve it in sherbet glasses. You'll have enough for 6 helpings, and that means 6 happy people. Jell-O chocolate pudding is so simple, so inexpensive, and so downright delicious that you mustn't delay trying it. Ask your grocer for Jell-O chocolate pudding, and if he hasn't put it in stock yet, be sure he orders it for you. Remember the name, Jell-O chocolate pudding.
All right, folks. Well, welcome back to the Property Beat. We're here with Alan Sims, and we are talking loan modification stuff. And this guy's got his act together. He's with CLCREE.org, And if you'd like to get in and ask him a couple of questions on our last few minutes here, you can call us at 347-989-0439 or write us at questions@thepropertybeat.com.
So, Alan, what do you see as the biggest issue out there for consumers in dealing with their mortgage and lender today?
I hate to ask you that, but you have to ask me one more time. I didn't hear you.
Oh, that's okay. I was asking, what do you see as the biggest issue as it relates to the mortgage or the lenders that people are having to deal with, the consumer, when they call in to deal with a lender?
Well, the biggest issue that, and I had another answer for you, but I was reading the Wall Street Journal yesterday. I hate putting plugs in for the people, but it's a good source. Right now, the down payment is the biggest issue because the banks are trying to correct past sins where there were no down payments and people got into a home. Now they want 10% down a lot of times, and the Feds are even trying to say, now I need 20% down. That's what the Wall Street Journal was saying yesterday, and I'm scratching my head. What is that going to do to the home market? People have to wait to get 20% down, or they have to buy a cheaper home. That's the biggest challenge, and they're going over everyone's application two or three times to make sure that the pay stubs are right and that the appraisal is right, and it's just maddening what they're doing to the consumer out there now. Home ownership is going to drop to an all-time low, and I think it has already for a number of years. And the only thing I can tell consumers is get ready for the meat grinder. I call it a meat grinder. They're going to loan modification, it's a meat grinder, and if they're going to go ahead and apply for a new mortgage, it's a meat grinder. And they really need to rely on their real estate professional, their agent, their mortgage broker. And with the new trends out there, I think a lot of the past spends that people might have put towards or envision on their real estate professional has been lifted somewhat. These are our new realtors. And I'm not saying the new realtors, but the realtors nowadays have to comply with a lot of new laws that they didn't have to several years ago. So rely on your real estate agent. I don't want to bash anyone, but I think that industry is cleaning up their bad apples rather quickly.
Absolutely. So,
well, Alan, we're kind of at the end of our hour here, and I just want to make sure I get a way for consumers to get a hold of you. Alan, so if they want to know more about what you're doing or to solicit your help, how can they best reach you?
Believe it or not, go on my website, www.clcree.org. That's one way, and they can email me through an email link there because I'm pretty much busy most of the time trying to chase these guys down. We also have a phone number, 909-653-5805. That's one way to try to reach me, and as volumes increase through shows like this, you might not be able to get through, so please try to email me with your questions, and then we can assist you in most any state.
You got it. All right, folks. Well, we're out of time for today. So, Alan, thank you very much for joining us, and best of luck with your organization, and keep up the good fight.
Thank you so much, and it's been a privilege being
Well, that's a wrap for our show today, folks. We hope you've enjoyed this episode of The Property Beat. We'd like to remind you that if you have any questions you'd like answered on our next show, you can simply email us at questions@thepropertybeat.com. You can also follow our blog at thepropertybeat.com, where you'll get news, tips, and stories about today's real estate industry. For now, I'm your host, Cliff Perotti, along with Jonathan Nicholas, saying so long. Thanks for tuning in.